Blog Talk Radio.
808 Mafia. God is great, paper straight, 808. Ain't no rules, ring roofers. Suck a fire, I got hit. Dang, I beat him up and took his piss. Right out of his hand, I was blown and make him rip. RIP, he was scared and he was swift. Tables turn and watch him flip. I'm just do it just quick. Word, won't stop. Niggas try to kill me in my flip. In my pretty red drop. God said you ain't killing shit, killing nothing. Bracelet on me so I ain't have my grip. They be checking, so I'll be bluff. I would've gunned that pussy down. Smirk all in his face. Niggas know how I get down. Turn you to a cold case. I do murder without a sound. I don't argue, no yelling. I do murders and don't get found. If they dead, then who tellin'? I'm only loyal to my fans. It's the truth. Middle finger from the stain. Either me or it's you. I will send her out to hell. Lead showers, I go last. When they send her out to jail, I use my power like ghosts. Ain't no rules when you root. None, since these niggas too fake, leave them toothless. Gums, punch your mouth and not a clock. Dominoes was a joke. Only work I got is block. Was selling pies before coke. Water whipping till it rocks. That's how I made a living after I got knocked. Corny ass right now. Came home and started spinning. Bought three cribs now. I got a lawsuit pending. I'm innocent and I'm filing. $20 million late. Aha! And I still don't give a fuck about a hater. I can't give him no range. I'm just too legit to quit. That's a fact. We can't forget how niggas switch. Can't come back. I cut them off that damn shit. Where they at? I ain't trying to get on by riding shit.
Dick Rider!
Cut them off that dang shit. Where they at? Out here trying to get on by riding shit.
Dick Rider!
That ain't a form of transportation. Every day, Lord of mercy, our fathers. No fuck nigga formed against me shall prosper. All my diamonds sick, feeling cold, I need a doctor. No fuck nigga formed against me shall prosper. I pray every day, Lord of mercy, our fathers. No fuck nigga formed against me shall prosper. All my diamonds sick. Feeling cold, I need a doctor. No fuck niggas formed against me, shall prosper. Straight like that. We ain't got time to fucking play around here, nigga. Getting to it. If you wanna place me in space. Ain't shit you excited. And that's for life. I'm giving you game for my pain. Wish I would've been instead of shit up in my brain. Different mind frames, I'm not seeing things the same. I'm a paper chaser, I ain't asking where the hoes at. Now I'm grabbed up, women saying I'm a hoes now. Get your money, save your breath, never do you blow that. Had some snakes in my grass, so you know I mow that.
But to mow and shit that leave you trapped in the hood. Man, the world is a trap. Don't get trapped in the hood. White collar crowns make you more than crack in the hood. If you get caught, they give your wrist a life slap in the hood. Real niggas all around, they ain't just packed in the hood. A lot of bad bitches, they ain't even jacked in the hood. I like foreign, I can drive my Nike whip in the hood. All these potholes got me fucking up my shit in the hood. Niggas plotting, keep a pistol on my hip in the hood. I might pass through, but I do.
Piss songs, funny piss songs, nobody listens. Bitch ones, riding dick ones, that I take grips from. I'm a dilettante, successful rapper, where you hit son? You a dirty nigga who don't matter, eat a big one. I'ma eat these money bags, equipped with all them fixes. Cars, clothes, cribs, hoes, preferably bigs. Haters ain't want me to breathe, they ain't know I had my big son. Jelly ain't want me to leave, half a million I put my chips on. America great again. Troy ass saying bacon water with weight again. Trump saying make America great again. Troy ass saying bacon water with weight again.
I'm in the street. All I know is that first, you've got to get mad. You've got to say, I'm a human being. God damn it. My life has value.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome Black to In Black America Radio with your host, Ross the B. It is February, Black History Month. It is February 16th, 2018. The guest call-in number is 646-716-4654. Today's title of the show is called Black Insecurities to Make White Supremacy Real. I put white supremacy real. I should put white supremacy real. We're going to be talking about various topics, me and my co-host Smoke. We're going to be speaking on what's going on in Jamaica. A lot of people don't know what's going on in Jamaica, ironically. I was mentioning it to people, and everybody was like, you know, looking at me puzzled, like, what's going on in Jamaica? Jamaica's in a crisis right now. So we're going to speak on Jamaica. We're going to speak on, a lot of Black insecurity in our narratives and the way we look at ourselves in our reactionary ways. If that doesn't make sense, then keep listening so I can make it make more sense. But before I do anything, let me bring my co-host Smoke in. Smoke, are you there?
Yeah, what's good?
What's going on, brother?
Big Friday, man. Mm-hmm. Try not to be fucking heated right now, but I'm good. Big Friday. Man, I went all the way. Remember what I told you I was trying to get early and shit? Went all the way over there. Yeah. Nigga locked the spot where I was supposed to get the shit from. I'm like, oh, just waste of time, you know what I mean? And I was already aggravated, so, you know. Just one of the mishaps, but, you know, it's really no big deal to be honest. But you know how that goes.
Nah, I get it. Me, on the other hand, I'm just still on my grind, on my money grind, you know what I'm saying? Looking at different little things going on. Peeping a lot of bullshit. Oh, shit, what the hell? They say we got 4 minutes left.
Okay.
Am I tripping? No, I'm not tripping.
Oh.
I said the stream is 4 minutes left.
Two. Yeah, 4 minutes.
You see that, right? Am I tripping? Like, yeah. How the hell did that happen?
Wow. Yeah, you had it on. It said 15 minutes. 9 p.m. for 15 minutes.
Okay, 15 now?
Yeah, you got it. The showtime. Nah, 15 minutes. So, you know, the radio.
15 minutes?
Yeah, so it's been played, the radio was playing for a lot. So 6 or 7 minutes.
That is fucking hilarious. That is fucking hilarious.
That is fucking hilarious. Alright, so
this is going to be one of those shows, man, that you're pretty much going to have to hear on the YouTube, man, you know what I'm saying? So, fuck it, you know what I'm saying? Just going to blow through this one. So, yeah, man, just been noticing a lot of weird shit, man, within the black community. I've been noticing a lot of weird shit, especially with decisions that's being made within black America. And the narrative that we like to repeat and parakeet. So, that's pretty much going to be the whole consistency of the show. Any examples and things that I show you is going to show the whole thing. I believe our insecurities come from us not having an economy. I'm always going to push the economy talk. You know what I'm saying? Because I know. And I recognize that that's where our insecurities come from. That's where our lack of self-worth come from. The gender war between us. You know, just all any issues that you could think of. It really all stems off the fact that black people don't have an economy to take care of themselves, sustain themselves, so forth and so on, rebuild themselves. So we are dependent on other races of people. So being dependent on other races of people, then guess what? The people that pulls your string can have pin you against each other. You know what I'm saying? So we don't even understand why we do the things that we do. You know, we start to think that it's just life. You know what I'm saying? Not realizing that, no, this is just a byproduct of not having an economy. You know what I'm saying? So to show an example of that, let's talk Jamaica. So now this is the most recent story though when it comes to Jamaica. This is February 10th. This is about Montego Bay, right? So they go, the tour operator introduces three new mini routes tours in Jamaica. They have to do the route tours because there's so much violence, so much gunshot, you know what I'm saying, going on in Jamaica that there's, like, Britain and shit like that is telling their citizens to be aware when you travel to Jamaica. They don't even want you to leave the gated community. You know what I mean? So they got the, you know what I'm saying, their police force, which is pretty much the military, they out there hunting down all the gunmen out there and killing them, basically. You know what I'm saying? So it's crazy. They said, like, last year, it was 300 killings in 12 months. So in the whole year, it was 300 killings. Jamaica's a fucking island.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Jamaica's an island. So it's like,
man,
the fuck is going on? You know what I'm saying? They like Montego Bay. You know what I'm saying? That's just wild right now. Then you got the story where they're talking about how a lot of the Jamaicans are leaving Jamaica. So they're ending up in places like Trinidad and, you know what I'm saying, other places and whatnot. And places like Trinidad, they're leaving. Places like Trinidad and shit like that, they're gone. They're out. They're gone. They're out. My bad. Excuse me. I'm still trying to figure out why. How did I press 15 minutes on that stupid ass thing? But places like Trinidad, they're deporting the Jamaicans out of Trinidad.
What?
They're also deporting the Venezuelans back to their country.
So they're
deporting
the
Venezuelans too.
I got it. They're on the run from their country.
So a lot of
basically like
right,
the US.
They you know what I'm saying? So they're fleeing. Just like how the Cubans would get on boats and float to Florida, you got Venezuelans on boats headed to Trinidad to look for work and to live and to eat, and you know what I mean? Because them niggas eating dogs and shit. They're talking about Puerto Rico, Venezuela, fucked up. You know what I'm saying? So it's like, it's a lot of shit going on, and what people don't realize and understand that means your economy ain't shit. You dig what I'm saying? Your economy ain't shit. What other reason would your people be in such turmoil? What other reason would there be so much crime and shit in on your island? What other reason would the people be wanting to leave the country of their birthplace? There's no opportunity. Opportunity and all that shit, that should come from what? That should come from an economy, a strong economy. So we got the people out in Jamaica. You got the people in the black in the black world. They suffering. Meanwhile, we playing games. I can't speak for black people and black economies all over the globe. I can only speak for black people and black economies here in America. And if black people in America create and strengthen their fucking economy here in America, you can intertwine your economy with Jamaica. Because the people them killing each other and stuff like that, and they starving out there like that, and the economy is weak, that's an opportunity. We got to remember capitalism, that's opportunity. And watch out how the opportunity works, man. I hope my fucking computer don't act up, but watch how this opportunity shit works. Well, you know what? My shit acting up. It's a little freezing up. But I'm about to tell a story in Chicago when it's free up. You know what I mean?
But yeah, man. That's just the natural shit. You know what I'm saying? It's like if you produce clothes or you have, you know, business money to invest, you know, you could be going there and building a factory or some shit. You know what I'm saying? And employing people. You know what I'm saying? At the very least, you could be sending clothes. You know what I'm saying? Shit that we could get here for cheap. You know what I'm saying? And sending that shit to them. You know what I'm saying? And have opportunities to sell shit. You know what I mean? So it's like,
No sending shit to nobody. No handout. No sending shit to nobody.
Sadly.
Your ass is gonna work. We building factories. Your ass sewing buttons and fucking a lot of fucking underwear.
But you know, it's like it would be easy to do it, shit. You know what I'm saying? Is if you got the money to do it, because the opportunity is right there.
Uh-huh.
Yep. So yeah, it's definitely a situation where it's like you know what I mean, you could just go right out there. And ain't gonna what resistance is gonna be when you got people that's leaving. So yeah,
exactly.
Man, those are the type of opportunities we gotta take advantage of. And you know, most of the time we get caught up, like growing up, most of us get caught up in like our area, our neighborhood. You know what I'm saying? We don't really experience much out of that. You know what I'm saying? So it's like, it's up to our news people, you know what I'm saying? People that's just talking just to try to widen the mind for it. Like, basically, we got to widen our experiences and shit, because it's deeper than just the hood, you know what I'm saying? We could be going international.
Yeah.
You got the internet. So pretty much you can sell your product anywhere it's demanded. So yeah, those opportunities is there, man. And that's crazy. It's like you leave the country. It's like you think about it, like, well, at least when we're here in America, you think about like the dynamic of like Mexicans, you know, crossing the border. That's like the major one here in America. You know what I'm saying? You think about that. But you would never think of, like, Jamaicans leaving to go to, you know what I'm saying, to Trinidad or Venezuelans coming, trying to, you know, get on boats and come in, you know, illegally like that.
Wait, here's another one. Puerto Ricans going to the Dominican Republic because their economy's fucked up. You see what I'm saying? Because their economy's fucked up. And they're leaving Puerto Rico to go to Dominican Republic. Haitians' economy's fucked up. So they're crossing over from Haiti to go to Dominican Republic. Jamaicans' economy is fucked up. So they're trying to get to Trinidad and other places, other islands and shit that's nearby. Venezuela's economy is fucked up. Cuba economy fucked up. So Cubans now fleeing to take their ass to fucking... The key to this whole fucking shit is economy. That's it. Oh, I forgot, Smoke. I forgot. Oh, how could I forget? Nigerian. Looking for economy. Their economy's fucked up. They're fleeing and going through Libya to get to Europe. They get into slaves, turn into slaves.
Right.
Other blacks.
That's that slave route.
Africans. Yup, taking that slave route, trying to get to Europe. And what the Europeans doing, Smoke? The Italians, what they doing, Smoke?
Blocking their borders off. They blocking the
borders. Blocking their borders.
I ain't even coming across. If you get across and we catch
what
you,
yeah, what is Israel doing? They want to kick the Africans out of Israel. You see what I'm saying? So, Trump building a wall? Maybe the whole fucking world is building a wall. A wall. Starving the rest of the nations out. Because the weaker you, stronger me. That's the capitalistic way.
Yeah, you heard that in
that's the conversation
Trump in the address in you know, it was the State of Union when he was like, you know, we are dreamers too. You know what I'm saying? So it's like, you know, it's that vibe of, you know, people coming into the country and living the American dream, but you got Americans that ain't living the American dream. You know what I'm saying? It's like, oh, hell no. Like you said, it's like,
yo, let me tell you
something. Yeah, y'all don't want to live in y'all country, so that's the vibe of what, you know, what's going on, like you said.
But check it. Come off my computer restarting right now. We're going to stay on this topic because I got the perfect motherfucking story. The perfect story. Talking about this. If I knew the title, I would have told you the title so you could pull it up yourself. You know what I'm saying? The perfect goddamn story. So I'm going to speak in the same spirit of it until, so once the computer comes back on, I could talk about the story. But again, us not having the economy makes you a worker for another person's economy, which is the white economy.
Battery.
When immigrants come in now you end up having cheaper labor. So I don't have to hire my black workforce. I'm now going to hire the Chinese or the Mexican or the Indian. You see what I'm saying? The coolie. They're cheaper than a nigga. So then we end up having war and beef and stuff while our oppressor stands back and watch. So we make it like we're people. So we sit back and we say, oh, and us as a people, and oh, we're fighting each other, we should stick together and all kind of shit like that. You're not a people. You're a workforce. You dig what I'm saying? You're a workforce. So if you pin one workforce against another workforce, you know what that equals, Smoke? Lower wages.
Right? It's all a hustle.
Because if I tell the nigger I'll pay you 14 until the spick, I'll pay you 10. They're going to be issues, right? So while they
oh, they going for that check?
Yeah, they're both fighting for the check. Now, look, now the chink comes in and says, yo, I ain't going to do it for 10, but I'll do it less than 14. No. The chink comes in and says, I'll do it for 7. What am I talking about? Chink said, I'll do it for 7.
He blowing that shit out the water.
So the white man come over here now. Now these two fighting, the stick and the nigga fighting. They look at the chink now. He got a lower wage. Now they running towards the cracker. We'll do it for 5. We'll do it for 6 and 5. That's a workforce. That's a workforce. That's why it's important for black people to have an economy. So when white people want to play their game of how much whites is able to work versus how much immigrants is versus willing to work within the economy, you don't got to participate. And the people that identify with you don't have to participate. We can now then say, okay, white economy, this is a game that y'all play, but this is what we play in the black economy. So when our African brothers and sisters, West Indians, let's say same scenario, West Indians and stuff like that, Jamaica, the economy all fuck up and all kind of shit like that. Hey, black American economy can then turn around and say, we want to import X amount of Jamaicans to come in and work. You dig what I'm saying?
Yeah.
That, you could do that. Remember I told you, I read the story about how in South Carolina they had the car, the auto factory, but they had illegal immigrants there, and all them niggas came from, like, Kosovo and
Russia. I want to say BMW. BMW Greenville.
All of these white immigrants from Europe.
And they was getting a better. They was getting a better job.
Or because all they needed was somebody to over, like shadow above them or some shit to let them, you know, to slide through the system and whatever. See, and we'll complain about. You don't complain about that. You say to yourself, yo, let me strengthen that shit in the black side. So now when our Haitian brothers is out here and they need, you know what I'm saying, they starving out in Haiti. And when I say starving, I don't mean starving like, you know what I'm saying, disrespecting the country, but starving as in your economy and shit.
Yeah. The complaints be valid, you know what I'm saying? It's like we understand that, you know, what's happening. You know, we try to go in these workforces and get jobs, you're gonna get paid less and shit like that. But the complaints ain't gonna really fix. It's not gonna fix the problem. You know what I'm saying? So it's until we able to employ each other and give us fair value and take advantage of lower wages to do certain jobs and so forth like that from a business standpoint where you can make money, then it's like, we always gonna have that issue. We always gonna be discriminated on.
Yeah.
We always gotta cut our hair or not have it a certain way. We always gotta talk a certain way. Yeah. You can't talk up and voice your opinion so much. There's always gonna be that. You're always gonna be. You got a certain amount of parties. You can't take these days off. You know what I'm saying? You're always gonna be in a situation like that when you're complaining, because just complaining ain't gonna get it. And then it's like, well, you're gonna bring some type of legislation. Who doing that? Our politicians ain't doing it, so it's like it's not gonna fix the issue. Yeah, so it's really it's just complaining. You know what I'm saying? It's just bitching. So it's valid. You know what I mean? We could point at that all day and find those examples. I'm pretty every black person either is going through it or knows someone or used to go through it or whatever. But until you're able to employ yourself and employ others, which would be an economy, then it's like we're going to have those same issues. We're always going to have them.
And that's the whole shit. And it's like there's no action outside of In Black America Radio, obviously, or think tanks or ideas or nothing motivating or addressing that aspect. You know what I'm saying? Our mind frame is always how to react towards white oppression or subjugation, but we never say to ourselves, how do we prevent white oppression and white subjugation? We never get to that point. It's like we only get to the point of fighting. But, like, nobody thought about building a fucking fortress to keep the scoundrels out. Nobody thought about a defensive strategy. Everything is wait until they do something so we can react. And my question is, how long do we do that? Another 400 years? It's not like white
forever.
People are the smartest people. Yeah, but it's not. But I can understand if they were smart. I can understand if they were smart. I can understand if they was like intelligent, really slick. These motherfuckers are simple. They do the same. If it worked, they'll do it again and again and again and again and again. So if you know that if something works, they'll continuously doing that shit over and over again. How you ain't peeped the game? How you ain't figure out their trick? How you sitting here talking all your pro-blackness and how supreme and smart and you're a king and all kind of shit and your powers and ancient and original, but you ain't figure out this crack of game? Well, they say that these white motherfuckers are babies, right? They came from us, right, Smoke? I mean, not us as in the men, but you know, ain't that what the consensus is?
Oh, that's what they say.
So how you don't know your children? How you don't know your children?
Yeah, I'll be thinking like we got the answers. We got all the shit we need because like the thing is like. When you think about, when you just go back and like, just go back to any old lecture, you know, it could be Malcolm X or anybody, you know what I'm saying? Even something more recent, like hey, somebody like Steve Coakley or whatever. Cats is saying a lot of the same
shit.
Times change, so the things that they mentioning or what might be specifically going on during that time might be a little bit different, you know what I'm saying? But it's like the same shit, you know what I'm saying? It's like, we know we getting oppressed, you know, with quotation marks. You know what I'm saying? We don't produce anything. We don't, you know, we got we drugs. You know, it's like it's the same thing. You can flip them, bounce them. You know what I'm saying? Bring new little swag to it. You know what I'm saying? Introduce some little, you know, some different thought processes and shit. But amongst the information we have, we got it. You know what I'm saying? It's just like we gotta act on it.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just like it ain't really no power in just like the complaining part. And so like you were saying before, we get stuck at that point, but it feel powerful. You know what I'm saying? It's like the politicians tell us it's powerful. Mm-hmm. Shit we watching on TV tell us it's powerful. You hear it in the hood and all over. You know what I'm saying? And our places we at, we feel like that's powerful. You know what I'm saying?
Peep it. So that means we operating off of female energy. Because that's how women is. Jump in your face, talk out of turn, you know what I'm saying? And
want to be on opposite of every goddamn thing that you, you know what I'm saying?
I was about to say,
like, these things
Black Panther coming out, what people saying? Give the Black community part of the proceeds and shit. And it's like, really, man, you know what I'm saying? Like, I get it, but it's like, come on, man, that shit is bad.
I don't get it. How the hell is this fucking movie supposed to give money back to a community without a fucking economy? I don't get it. Because who do
I would get why somebody was saying it. It's just like, yeah, it's like, who you giving it to? That's what the part that don't make sense. It's like,
right. There's no economy. There's no fucking economy. That's like me saying, yo, I'm going to get some money and I'm going to give that shit to help Brooklyn. I'm going to give that shit to the people of Brooklyn. But how the fuck would that help? Like, what, you going to stand there and everybody that's walking past you in Brooklyn going to hand money to? Like, how does that work? There's nothing there. Instead of trying to create there, we rather sit around and fucking pretend that everything else that happens is the reason why. And there's nothing that we can do about it. We must just, I guess, just deal with it, I guess. I don't know. You know what I'm saying? With me, I'm more so on the defense of, how long are you going to say the white man's the devil? How long are you going to goddamn say that we are original, we supreme? How long are we going to say that this white man got his foot on our neck, or we're dealing with racism, or we have to fight a system, or we're behind and everybody else is ahead? These ain't new things being said. You know what I'm saying? These ain't new things being said. These are fucking old stories. So it's like, when do somebody hear this shit and say, because I'm typing the name of this story right now. That's why I sound a little distracted. Yeah, here it goes. it's like, you know what I'm saying? These things, I lost my thought. But this is the whole point I wanted to talk about right here now. The name of this is from Chicago Sun-Times. This came out today, February 16th. The name of the title, at Major Northwest Side Bakery, Labor Issues Pit, Blacks versus Hispanics. So it goes, a major bakery on the Northwest Side, once known for making Little Debbie snack cakes, was sold early this month after an immigration audit cost the company about a third of its workers. About 800 employees of the main Clover Hill Bakery on the Northwest Side and the company's bakeries in Cerro and Romeoville lost their jobs when the audit found many were hired after presenting fake or stolen IDs. The owner of the Little Debbie walked away, saying its orders no longer were getting filled on time by Clover Hill, and revenues fell for the bakery's corporate owner, the Swiss food conglomerate, ARYZTA. Finally, ARYZTA had enough and sold the bakeries, Hostess Brand said, it's buying Clover Hill Chicago Bakery from ARYZTA. Some might see what happened at Clover Hill as a sign of things to come under the Trump administration, with fear in corporate America and among immigrants of increased government crackdown. But the story of the 137,000 square foot bakery in Galewood on the northwest side of Chicago appears to be more complicated than that. It precedes the Trump's administration and involves tension between African-American and Hispanic workers. According to current and former employees, a former company consultant in a worker advocacy group. They're being pitted against each other so they don't get along, say Danny Galoff, a community organizer on the West Side. We believe this is a divide and conquer strategy. Unfortunately, in Chicago, there is a widespread segregationist employment model to contract out most of your production work through temporary agency and look the other way when they target employees by race or immigration status. Galoff, a former union organizer who is project manager for the group Coalition Against Segregation of Employees. The goal is to create a very vulnerable workforce and keep the wages low. Yeah, it said the goal is to create a very vulnerable workforce and keep the wages low. So,
like somebody going there, like, hey, you're gonna come through my agency. they go hire the cops for cheap. They getting probably $20 an hour per person, probably, and then giving them $7, $8,
$10. It's gonna break this shit down. But just at this point right here, I just wanted to point out right now we're showing you the workforce is the African American and the Hispanic. The white businessmen are the Little Debbies and the hosters and the ones buying each other and selling each other's business. You see what I'm saying? The workforce is the African Americans and the Hispanics. So they get their employees from the temp agency. So that's how they can control their wage. But who are the employees? African Americans and Hispanics. Upper management and everybody else, those are white people. The owner of the business is white people. This is why black people need their own economy. Because when the crackdown was going on and the immigration was getting the Mexicans and the Little Debbie's owner walked away and all kind of shit because the sales wasn't going through, that could have been a black company that brought that.
Yeah,
you see what I'm saying? And got them a factory already up and running with a product that's already ready for sale. You see what I'm saying? Could be sold on the shelf, the Little Debbie snacks and all kind of shit. You see what I'm saying? Now you find out Little Debbie's owned by fucking black. You can hire your workforce now from the people of the community, and they're black.
Yeah. And it's a factory, so you can make more than one product.
Right, right.
So it could be someone
else.
That's
the point.
Another.
It's a factory. It's an industry-based business. It's not a consumer-based business. It's not a Little Debbie restaurant. A Little Debbie snack place. No, this is a industry-based business.
It's a snack cake industry, or whatever that's called. Food industry.
Yeah, you're in the food industry and shit. So before I left off, I said, they got the temp agencies and shit like that. So they go, the goal is to create a very vulnerable workplace and keep the wages low. So they say, Tracy Stecko, a spokesman for ARYZTA, declined to comment except to say, our company briefly owned that bakery operation, but no longer does. So you may want to ask your question to more appropriate parties, such as ICE or the union that is the legal bargaining representative of most workers at that bakery. U.S. Immigration and Customs, ICE, hasn't responded to the request filed months ago for public records on the audit, and a spokeswoman for the agency wouldn't comment, nor would representatives of the temporary employment companies that provided workers to Clover Hill. A hostess spokeswoman didn't respond to a request for comment. ARYZTA brought Clover Hill in 2014. At the time, according to bakery employees and community organizers, most of the employees were natives of Mexico. Most who's been hired through labor networks, a temporary employment agency, through labor network, it's a temp agency. But many of those workers weren't temporary in the dictionary sense of the word. Most were called permatemps. Temp workers who actually were permanently employed at Clover Hill. Most have been there for years, at least, and some for decades. In 2015, under the Obama administration, ICE inspected the documentation of labor network employees at Clover Hill in May 2017. The Trump administration sent letters to about 800 employees saying they weren't authorized to work in the United States. Records examined by the Chicago Sun-Times show. Those Hispanic employees didn't return to work, leaving the bakery desperate to fill their jobs. So the company turned to another tip agency, Metro Staff Inc., and it provided Clover Hill with workers screened through the government's e-verification program. Most of those new employees are African American. Ed French, owner of Elgin-based Metro Staff Inc., so Ed French is the one that owns the temp agency, says his company became the main provider of workers for the bakery and that about 80% of them are black, according to French. Workers at the bakery were paid slightly less before his company was hired two and a half years ago, with wages up about 25 cents an hour to just about minimum wage. He says everyone hired through his company is permitted to work in the country and has passed a background check and a drug test. According to a former consultant to the bakery, MSI paid the black workers $14 an hour versus the $10 an hour the Mexican workers were making through labor network. The consultant, Felix Akusa, says the bakery offered its remaining Hispanic workers a $1 an hour premium to train the black replacement workers. Right. Yeah, because I want to make sure I don't read too fast. So I don't want to reveal who the call. Let's stop right there. So now the blacks come in, right? ICE run up in there. The Mexicans, them get scared. They don't go to work. They don't show up to work. They ain't trying to get sent back. So now we need workers. They go to another temp agency. So now they got to hire born here, bred here Americans. Who's the majority population that's unemployed, workforce is unemployed? The black community. So now these black people now is now being hired now and being able to work now in this factory to get $14 an hour. All right, boom. Now we see the Mexicans were getting 10, the blacks were getting more, that's 14, and the Hispanics had to teach. They were given a dollar initiative to train the black replacement workers, right? How to do this shit. So now we're in the game. So what you gotta say about that?
That shit is crazy. Just how like the games that you gotta be a part of. You know what I'm saying? So it's like, you know, the government swoop in, change it up. And then now it's like, well, at least for the Mexicans, you know, the Latinos, it's fucked up for them. But then it's created an opportunity for us, you know what I'm saying? So, I mean, all in all, it's really just about being an opportunity, you know what I'm saying? And it's like, one, you see a bunch of crackdowns where You see, they running down on a plant to make sure that the immigrant, you know, is running properly with, you know, not illegal immigrants. So now there's an opportunity there. So there's an opportunity to work. You know, I mean, it has to be other opportunities for business. You know what I'm saying? So, I mean, we're going to look at it as an advantage. You know, I mean, at least that situation, like, on a small scale, it's like we getting a job, we running in there. You know what I'm saying? But it's like, at the end of the day, we got to be on the higher side of it, where it's like we recruiting that, those employment, because there's a workforce there for businesses. So if you can create that business, you can always get that low income, them low wages. You know what I'm saying? But that's crazy how they just ran down in there. And it's really just tightening up.
See, the thing that's crazy to me is the fact that we don't have our shit together to where we can make, again, if we would have been able to, was in a position where we could have acquired that business because the person walked away after ICE, we would have been hiring black people.
Right. And
these black people
would have
been hiring. Exactly. Exactly.
And now you have a workforce that you can cater to. So it's like, all right, this is what black people are. Right? We want to be off on these days. We want to have this. And so you can make sure you give them those things so they'll be loyal to you. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, so it's like, when you hear that, it's like, I'm just wishing that we was the guy who acquired it, like you said. You know what I'm saying? That's the greatest opportunity out of it. But even on a smaller scale, with the crackdown on immigration and shit like that, cats need to really be thinking about not being in the streets. So it's like, if you got to get you a job or something instead of out here just hustling and bustling, because we also know from the earlier shows, they're regressing on the prison and the prison control shit that Obama was. So now it's going to be more of a press of, you know, trying to get people locked up and things like that, more than what it is. So it shouldn't be an excuse for your ass to be like, you ain't got no job, and you just want to lounge around and do bullshit. So there's going to be opportunities for that. So at the very least, on a small scale, you can take that. But to avoid these issues that we always have, when it comes to being a workforce, you have to think in terms of business ownership and industry base, where we can hire and, you know, and make money that way, and, you know, put a stamp on an economy, you know, build it.
Yeah, and like I said, you build economy through industry. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's how you do it.
Yeah, that was the perfect shit. The key of what you said was it was ready made. So really, you just had to go in there with the paper and, you know, like, let's go.
Yep. So let me get down to the part now. So it goes summertime, Hispanics, then. Okay, here we go. So then it goes, Okwusa. Oh. So here you go. But, okay, so let me read up right before it gets to that. So the consultant, Flex Okwusa, say the bakery offered its remaining Hispanic workers a $1 an hour permanent premium to train the black replacement workers. But Okwusa say COVID Hill soon ran into problems. In a memo to the company, Okwusa, who is an African American, wrote that the black workers displayed a higher turnover rate of over 40% and a lower efficiency rate than the Hispanic co-workers. Okwusa included his memo in a lawsuit he has filed against ARYZTA in an effort to recover a bonus he says he was promised ARYZTA would encounter. One of the facts of the case and a reality in America is the is the immigrants do the work for less than the Americans will, say Okawusa lawyer George Oprah. Yo, they got some wild last names out here in Chicago. George O. It shows the dynamics of immigration in this country. Many of these Hispanic workers have been here a long time, pay taxes in a lot of instances, and many of them can now be kicked out of the country. Attorneys who represent undocumented immigrants say they haven't heard of any former Clover Hill employee being placed in detention for deportation to Mexico. In the past, most of the workers at Clover Hill were Hispanic. Now most are black. Lynn Lane, a union steward at Clover Hill, say there are tension at the two as the two groups work side by side. Lane, who is black, says it was black workers at the bakery who called the government hotline to report the Mexican workers to immigration authorities. It was African-American workers.
Gosh.
You know what I'm saying?
No snitches, son.
That ain't my man.
That's funny.
Calling ICE. It's either me or you. There you go.
That's funny.
African American workers in the plant that saw, you know, like I said, that had been treated unfairly and treated like secondary class citizens by Hispanic workers, Lane said. So it was a whole lot of employees in the company. Well, they was given a number, as far as I know, they was given a number to call immigration. ICE will not say why the order of the bakery workers began. Lane started working at the Chicago bakery as a packer at the end of 2015. Now, she tracks waste in the bakery production of Danishes. Black workers couldn't communicate well with Spanish-speaking Mexican workers and supervisors, according to Lane, who blamed the company for the resulting confusion. When I first started, and when they first put me in as a packer, I asked the question, do they speak English, she said. And they said, everybody. But when I went to communicate with them, no one spoke English. Lane says she also felt Mexican workers got better assignments and weren't required to work as hard as black workers. Still, she says, she also felt solidarity with the Mexican employees over pay and the long hours required for everyone. You're thinking this agency is paying the same as the next agency, and you come to find out one pays $11 and the other one pays $14. And here we is, and one is paying $10, $10-something, and we all doing the same job. That's unfair. She said she worked 12 hours a day, 6 days a week, and only recently was able to take Sundays off to go to church. I go to work 2 a.m., get off at 2 p.m., go home at 3. I am asleep at about 5 or 6, says Lane. I get up the next night to go back to work. The pay is okay. I'm not complaining about that. It's mainly the hours. You have to be on your feet 12 hours a day with steel-toed boots on. Lane estimates that 90% of the workers in Chicago bakery were Hispanic when she started working about 2 years ago, and now 90% of the workers are black. So I'm going to stop right there. Now, what I like about that part, Smoke, is the fact that even if they were snitching, you know what I'm saying? Fuck it. Business is war. You know what I'm saying? The same way the Mexicans pushed the blacks out of L.A.,
you know what I'm saying, out of predominantly black areas and shit like that in L.A., same shit we supposed to be doing. If you're going to be a workforce, black people, you better be a dominating workforce. Stop trying to befriend everybody who's trying to dominate you. You might as well be a dominating workforce where whatever a non-black person do in the workforce, y'all dropping dime on them. Oh, look, they be coming in late. Drop dime, get them fired. Let them be replaced with another black person. You know what I'm saying? Like, we have to have that type of solidarity, that type of fight. So we're dominating the workforce if you're going to work within another person's workforce. In a lot of cases, we only want to be the only one there. And then what we always hear, what you always hear smoke about the person that's the only black person there. They always end up talking about how stressed out they are. They don't understand me. They always want to touch my hair.
You gotta fit in. You know what I'm saying? Which normally don't coincide with who you are. So you gotta fake it.
Exactly.
Who the hell wanna fake it?
So then she told, then the sister, she's speaking on how the Hispanics, because remember, they said they were Hispanic supervisors and workers. So she's like, yo, the Hispanics were getting away with murder, man. They were able to do a lot of shit we wasn't even able to do. You know what I'm saying? But at the same time, she kept it a buck with the potato. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, at the same time, she kept it a buck with the pay. And she like, wow, that's not right, man. We should all be getting paid the same. But guess what? When you're working within a white economy, that's what you got to deal with. Within a black economy, hey, maybe everybody should get paid the same. Same pay for the same work. You know what I'm saying?
You get in where you fit in, you know what I'm saying?
White economy.
It don't work like that, you know what I'm saying? And those are the things that you might be subjected to, you know what I'm saying? You might work for a place where everybody getting about the same. Ain't for a big of a difference. You don't know that. Or you might be getting severely paid to somebody. You don't know, you know what I'm saying? So it's like those are the things that you're going to be subjected to. And then when you find out, you're going to be disgruntled with the company. If you've been working there for years, now you're going to be mad. The more longer you've been working there, the more mad you're going to be. So those are the things you're going to deal with. And it's like, yeah, it's not fair. But legally, they can get away with that. Then, now, if they can't, if they're doing something illegal, then you go after the company. There's laws and courts for that. But outside of that, we're going to be subject to those problems when the owners, the bosses, the supervisors ain't black, you know what I'm saying? We have to be black from the top, you know what I'm saying? So it's like, we only going to give each other the fair. You know what we worth, but no one else will care. And it ain't really their job to care, you know what I'm saying? It's like, we can beg and ask them to give a fuck about it, but that ain't been working. So it's like, we're going to always be subjected to the unfair treatment as a workforce. And again, like on a smaller scale, you basically see where you could fit in at. Oh, they paying 14 over there, go over there. You know what I'm saying? Communicate with each other. Y'all in a certain area, you know these jobs, people looking for a job. Hey, yo, nah. You was working, nah, y'all know these people, my man worked there, they paying, go over there. You know what I'm saying? Move in shape. But it's like, we always going to be subjected to that shit until we hiring each other.
Yeah, we get into that shit because, again, we don't got no economy, you know? So now we go into this part of the story. A Hispanic woman who formerly worked at the bakery say the ICE orders caused her husband his job, but she says she didn't feel tension between Hispanic and black workers because in the times that I worked there, honestly, I didn't see any black workers. They came later. She says she came to the United States in 2011 from Hidalgo, Mexico, and heard about the bakery from uncles in Chicago. She worked as a packer from 2001 until she got pregnant in 2008. Her husband worked there from 2000 until he was forced out because of the ICE audit. The woman asks that her name not be mentioned because she crossed the border illegally.
In an interview in Spanish, she says that the long hours at the bakery were tough, but says we had no other choice. Since her husband was fired, the truth is that it's been very hard. He had jobs where he wasn't paid or the check bounced. The ICE orders were devastating, she said. We knew we could not prove he had authorization to work. We felt disappointed. 17 years working there, and suddenly they tell you this. The community, Gearloth, the community organizer, says other Chicago area factories also have used temp agency to recruit Hispanic workers over black workers. He pointed to Ferrera Candy Company in Forest Park, which was sued in 2013 by black job applicants who said that they were passed up for jobs given to Latino applicants. Ferrera settled for $1.5 million, according to court records. Nearly 900 potential black employees were eligible to share in the fund, with the rest of the money to go to the Westside Health Authority, which Galax is affiliated with, to provide job training for African Americans. They were marketing aggressively to the African American community, but shutting them out of jobs, Gillas said of Ferrera Candy. We met with them and they said they would make this right. Alderman Chris Taliaferro, whose 29th ward includes the Clover Hill Bakery on the northwest side, said he has heard complaints from workers there but has had little contact with bakery executives. Under ARYZTA, Taliaferro said the owner didn't communicate with his office, unlike other major employers in the ward he pointed to, including Radio Flyer and Mars Candy Factory. Clover Hill is very shut off, Taliaferro said, adding he hopes to have better relations with Holston. With Radio Flyer and Mars, I could go in anytime I want, but if you try to get into Clover Hill, it is like you need top secret government clearance. Because this business, and I'm going to stop right there. And all of that shows you, oh, you know what? Let me just finish the rest. I got like three more paragraphs to just finish the show real quick. Alderman Gilbert Villegas, 36th District, says he has met with immigration workers at Clover Hill about the bakery, which is across the street from the ward boundary, and he's been working with Communities United, an organization that helps immigrants. Villegas says blacks have been pitted against Hispanics in the day labor world for quite some time. African Americans were discriminated against because day labor agencies knew they could take advantage of the undocumented workers. Everybody who wants to work should have a fair opportunity and not be taken advantage of. Villegas says companies that hire the day labor agencies also should take some blame. These companies that participate in this type of practice need to be held accountable, too, he said. They should be treating everybody the same, regardless of their status. They're pitting one ethnic versus another is just not right. That's in that story. It's just a funny story because at the end of the day, it boils right back down to what? The number one thing that I talk about, economy.
Everybody is coming up off of the need for motherfuckers to work. So you got that middleman company, the temp agency, that's like, okay, why the hell I'm going to give black people $14 or hire black people at the $14 rate when we can hire people at the $11 rate? What they not saying is what Hostess is giving whatever the factory name is. They not saying what they're giving the temp agency per person. So that could probably be $20. That might be $25. But the temp agency is keeping that, so it's like a bigger margin for them to eat off of. Like, well, why pay $14 when we could pay $11 off of $20 or something like that? So it's like they coming up off of that. So it's nothing to shut the black people out when I can get an extra $3 a head. Come on, man. We making
and
money.
And
so it's like,
but they also showing you that the game is to shut the black people out.
Yeah.
So while we over here arguing about fucking, we over here arguing about fucking jobs and equality and black and brown and all this dumb shit like that. No, we need to be talking about economy. Because at the end of the day, that they're sitting over here saying, you know what, we're going to use these agencies to get illegal immigrants who are going to get paid less than the blacks to do what? To shut them. That's literally what to do, to shut down this workforce. So we're going to get a cheaper workforce, so we don't got to deal with this workforce. That means this is on purpose.
Yeah. Because basically what they said,
so,
we could get those.
Wait, this is the last point. This is the last point I'm going to make. So if you understand that this is on purpose, wouldn't the solution be to prevent that from happening? You see what I'm saying? If you know that these companies is like, yo, we don't want to hire blacks, so we would go through a temp agency to get illegal immigrants from Mexico to come to Chicago to work for $10 an hour just so we don't hire this black workforce, that means that black workforce need an economy so they can be the workforce for a black economy. So we don't be in that position. So we stay in that position, and then we want to fight to make them hire us instead of creating a reality where we don't need them. Go ahead, Simone.
Yeah, I mean, I forgot the other point I was going to say, but, yeah, it's crazy how easy you could, X somebody out of a workforce. They just basically like, oh, okay, the rate is different. Okay, so we just hire more. And then the part that was crazy to me, if I heard it correctly, was they were saying that they was marketing strongly to black people, but going out of their way to, you know, actually hire the other workforce. So it's like they go through the front of it, like, come down to the office, put your tie on, give me your resume. They sending all the shit to you, you got hope up, you going down there to waste your time. Knowingly, you know what I'm saying? So it's like that easily. It wasn't no law. There's somebody at the office who was like, oh, word? Okay, so look, this is how we going to do it. Tell all the recruiters this, that easy. You know what I'm saying? And it's like we could just be X'd out of it because of some strategy, a few dollars, some dollars for somebody's pocket. You know what I mean? So that was the crazy part of it.
Then when you hear our so-called leaders, no, they're not leaders, they're politicians. Get a grip. You hear them and they talk, what do you always hear them say? Jobs, education. Jobs, education. But if you know that these companies really, y'all fighting to make them hire us, to hire us to work for them, you're fighting. You're literally arguing and threatening and making them do this. Why would you keep wanting your people to work for people that you know don't want us with them? You would think eventually somebody will say to themselves, I think that's a failed strategy. I think it's a failed strategy to keep on thinking that we can, generation after generation, force white people to treat us the same way they treat themselves. No. No. You're a fool. It's time for us to then build our own economy, and that's industry-based economy, and rebuild Black America.
Yeah.
How many times are you going to keep fighting
the
same
shit? The only way you can change people is through laws, politics, and economics and shit. So it's like, motherfucker, they don't respect you unless they got to respect you. So it's like, we could say what we want about the, you know, Chinese, Korean, we could Japanese, we could diss all of that. But guess what? You're going to that damn store to get some goddamn wings. You're going to the fucking hair joint to go buy fucking hair grease and all that shit. Whatever you buy it is. Yeah. You're going over there to buy the clippers to cut your hair from the damn self. So it's like, you could talk all the shit you want, but hey, you got to respect them because you over there getting your shit from them.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, until we controlling shit like that to where it's like, oh, y'all got to come over here. So you can talk what you want, but you got to spend that paper over here for this. We don't command that.
So let me add on to that. Let me add on to that. We need to create control a market. Figure out what market, because you know that there's somebody thinking right now, yeah, but what can I do? Y'all saying it, y'all saying all of that, you saying create something, but what is it? So it's like, yo, find a market, because we don't have shit. Find a market, find something that you could do.
The shit
that
we
you
got,
can
we
create.
Don't,
that
we not trying to capitalize on it, you know what I'm saying? Like, for example, like, athletics. Anytime you turn to see, you know, you see a nigga flying and catch a ball, dunk some shit. You know what I'm saying? Some little kid recruiting to some school. We are the product of that shit. I mean, this is somebody somewhere now, like, man, little JJ, he gonna be that dude. He gonna be the NBA. We'll talk about a little kid. You know what I'm saying? So it's like, we control that, but we continue to give our talent away to the school. We don't get, you know, we get the pennies for it or whatever. We get kicked out of school or something crazy. Like, we don't, you know, we got shit like that. Shit like, you know, entertainment, you know what I'm saying? Like, for example, like with Monique, you know, she looking to go to Netflix, which I understood her great, you know what I'm saying? But, like, it's just in the sense of, you know, we could be doing our own projects. There's no filmographers out there that can go film our joints, you know what I'm saying? We can't, like, you know what I mean? Dame Dash has sites and websites with comedy, special, with movies and shit. Huh? Yo.
The show finished. It says the episode ended.
Oh, wow.
You hear me?
Yeah, I hear
it. So I guess that's it. Yeah, it was a crazy show. Yeah, because I'm sitting over here like, why did I click? How did I click the chat? Because when I clicked 9 o'clock.
Yeah, usually, it's still going, though. So,
episode ended. I seen the box popped up, and that shit said,
Yeah, I just saw the box.
And it just said, said that it's finished. I didn't mean it. Yeah, I got to dry down.
I got to go out.
Down anyway, man.
Shit,
that's what it is, man. Shit, we might fuck around and do another show Saturday. You know what I'm saying?
Well, shit, just let me
next
know.
Week. All right, I'll let you know.
All right, bet.
All right, baby.